Greg, I'm driving on the Nacolla Coast Road, and the road is black with tyre marks by people doing donuts before the rally on Saturday. If this event is going to continue, I would suggest that DCC should inspect the road before and after, and if any damage is done, the bill should be sent to the Donegal Motor Club. But the Donegal Motor Club aren't responsible for the actions of Aegis. It's no more so than if there's a bank holiday weekend and there's lots of aggro on the main street in Letterkenny or wherever it might be. You can't sort of blame whoever introduced that bank holiday. You organise event, you control that event, but what goes on around and outside that, the state really has to police and enforce, I would have thought. I can't see how that is. And I've no skin in the game, by the way. I really don't. I can't see how that you could lay the blame of that at the foot of the Donegal rally. Greg, I hear what you're saying about house insurance, but if I insure my house for more, it values my house more, which in turn increases my property tax. I know my house is worth more than €100,000, but I'm trying to keep costs down. It really is a catch. It is indeed. But, you know, the bottom line is that unfortunately houses burned down. And it's a gamble because if, God forbid, something happened to your house, you'd be kicking yourself, wouldn't you? And also, is the property tax linked to what you insure your house for? Firstly, your property tax is what your house is worth, right? So you could probably make a strong argument it's 100K. But to rebuild that house, and don't forget, it's a rebuild of the house, not the value of the house. It's how much it costs to rebuild it. And if you've got contents, it's to build from the ground up, the roof, furniture, carpets, skirts, all that type of stuff. So I don't think that's the value of your house. So I think you can still insure your house at the correct value. But if you believe your house is worth no more than 100,000, I believe you can continue to, if you believe that to be the case, and it is the case, I wouldn't suggest anyone lie, then you should be okay. I'm not suggesting anyone should do anything that is outside of the law. I'm not saying that. It's the rebuild versus the value. Caller says, no primary road should be in such condition. This is Manor to Lifford. That a tractor can hold up an express bus, which has to keep to a rigorous timetable. It's these hold-ups which prevent passengers from using toilets and refreshments facilities at a designated stop. Micheál joins me now. Micheál, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
We're talking about the N14. Specifically, is it the section that was mentioned earlier, the Letterkenny stroke Manor to Lifford stretch?
There's that dangerous stretch. Yeah.
Yeah, what's your view?
Yeah, well, just to be clear first, the N14, it is part of the 10T route, but it's not what we think of when we say 10T. We're saying 10T route, we're thinking the core route throughout Europe, and that the big upgrades are supposed to happen to that, or to be done by 2030. The N14 is on a different route, part of the comprehensive 10T route, and the big upgrades expected to happen to that don't actually have to be completed until 2050.
Which is some way out. What is your view, on why, for instance, roads like this seemingly are neglected?
Well, they seemingly are neglected to us because at the Department of Transport in Dublin, they don't seem to be neglected at all. Mm. So when TIA go to the Department of Chabot Donegal, they're going to say that the N14 and all other routes are at the design and environmental evaluation stage, which sounds quite good. You know, it sounds like there's great progress being made, but we know on the ground that, you know, we have there's been no sod turn, so to speak.
And you say that you also believe the speed limit should be 80 kilometres per hour on that stretch. You would agree with that?
Well, in terms of the safety, yeah, 100% would be. As soon as that road would be de-trunked, if there's a dual carriageway built alongside it or something, the speed would become 80 kilometres an hour, because that's the safe speed for us. At the moment, it's 100 kilometres per hour because it is such an important route.
But if you dig into this, you're not holding your breath for the dual carriageway to be built from Letterkenny to Lifford, I presume?
I believe it'll be built, yeah, but it'll be built no time soon, you know.
Yeah, it's just sometimes I wonder how we get the penny to drop with Transport Infrastructure Ireland. You know, so many issues come up and it seems to be out of our control, and then it's very hard to sort of even lobby and get any movement on stuff. Even with a council, maybe we could achieve more, but the TEI just seem to be a Dublin-based organisation unto themselves.
Yeah, and that's the centralisation's word for that, and that's the challenge of it. We have one body in Ireland for all our national primary and secondary roads, whereas in other countries in the world we might see a more decentralised approach where local authorities would be in charge of more important routes. Now, I don't know which one would work better here. Is PII better maintaining these national roads in Donegal, or would we rather have Donegal County Council maintaining them? I don't really know.
I don't mind the TII having overall control of budgets and all that kind of stuff, but that they felt like there was a meaningful input locally into some of the decisions that are made, or in terms of if we are of the view that there's a safety issue, that is respected. So in other words, if that conversation comes through the council to the TII and they say, right, we expect you as an authority, and this is what we are going to do about it. What happens is just we're told, oh, well, it has to be a survey this and a survey that and a traffic this and criteria that, and things move on and nothing gets done, Micheál. That's my concern.
That's very true, Greg.
All right. Okay, listen, it's been nice speaking to you. Thank you for your time. If you agree, let us know, or disagree for that matter. 086 60 25000, that is our contact number, as you know fine rightly, because you use it all the time. You can also email us, of course, as you know as well, comments@highlandradio.com. Right, okay, we have a Swifty who needs to get and see Taylor Swift, I would say. Desperate times at this point. Henry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are we?
I think I'm better than you at this point.
Yeah. No, right. It's just a desperate plea. I'm just desperate. A plea on behalf of my daughter, Farah. We've tried everything to get Taylor Swift tickets. She's playing next Dublin and Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'm just pretty much begging or wondering if any listeners who got tickets, and if they are unfortunate that they can't make it next week, but I'd happily take them off their hands. I know it's just a desperate plea, but clutching at straws.
And you know, unfortunately, you, Henry, are amongst so many others, and the big outlet for these tickets nowadays is social media, but the scammers are out in full force, aren't they?
There's so many scams. We were close last week ourselves to sending over €800 for tickets of a friend of a friend who on Facebook. But something became suspicious while we were texting them, and then we just rang her friend to just double check, and the friend then confirmed now that her Facebook had been hacked as well. So just it's constant at the minute.
Two tickets, I presume, the appeal out there is for two tickets. Yeah, for any of the nights for Taylor Swift.
Yeah, just because, that's right, some people mightn't be able to go for work commitments or the price of hotels or whatever. And I say it's just a long shot chance of my arm at this stage, you know.
You never know. You just never know. So any of the nights, I would say you would argue that your daughter is the biggest Taylor Swift fan in the world.
I mean, literally the biggest. She's obsessed. And that's all she wanted last year from Santa for Christmas was Taylor Swift tickets. But unfortunately, Santa couldn't get them.
Even so, Santa can't pull the strings sometimes.
Santa couldn't pull this one last year, is right, yeah. So as a desperate dad, I've took it upon myself now just to try every avenue. And again, if anybody can do it, maybe Highlands listeners can help me out.
You just never know, Henry. You know? I presume you're a regular listener and you're not just tapping into us.
I am, of course. Whenever Highlands not on in the house, it's Taylor Swift, just daddy.
All right. I don't mind sharing the airspace in your house with Taylor. Come here, listen, we'll see. Yeah. I think you recognise it's a long shot, but listen, you never know.
Someone
might have, their plans may have changed, and they do pop up from time to time. Henry, you never, ever know. You've tried everything at the stage, and we'll let you know if we hear anything, all right?
Greg.
Cheers, buddy.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
That's Henry there. His daughter is absolutely crazy about Taylor Swift, obsessed. Even Santi couldn't get her the tickets. They're looking for two on any of the three nights, and they're just hoping that if there's any reason that one of you out there can't go, to let us know. And I think he's prepared to pay over face value for them by the sounds of things as well. Okay, so that was the thrust of his text anyway. So if you have, you can help. And I can understand why people might be reluctant to do it online. A caller says, hi, Greg. In relation to the escalating domestic violence issue which is plaguing our society, in 2019 I had two motions accepted at the Sinn Féin Ardèche regarding which, if implemented, would provide important tools to help prevent domestic abuse. The first motion suggested that we legislate to carbon copy the right to ask and power to tell schemes currently available in Northern Ireland in the 26 counties. Right to ask involves the state having a register of convicted domestic abusers, individuals either in relationships or those who fear a loved one is in an abusive relationship. They have the right to confidentially ask Gardaí if an individual has a conviction for domestic abuse. I've interviewed on this before. It does seem to make a lot of sense. Power to tell obliges Gardaí to discreetly inform an individual of their partner's domestic abuse convictions in the event that someone reports a concern to the Gardaí. The contact by Gardaí must be made discreetly and measures put in place to safely remove the person from the situation should they wish to do so upon hearing of the conviction. The second motion requested that domestic abuse convictions in other jurisdictions be permissible as evidence in court here, particularly in cases involving access to children. Currently, domestic abuse convictions in the North are not admissible in the South to the benefit of the abuser. To date, Sinn Féin has made no effort to put forward a bill on either of these national policies. I'm not sure who this person is, but I definitely interviewed someone along the lines of both of these two measures, because to me they seem to make a great deal of sense, and I'm open to correction or influence in relation to that. But so far, nothing. But, you know, if it's working in Northern Ireland, we can see. And if we can see it's working, then surely we can try and sort of implement that here. What do you think? All right, we're going to be talking Donegal International Rally a little later on in this hour. But firstly, I want to say good morning to Emma McHugh, Managing Director of Atlantic Travel in Letterkenny. How you getting on, Emma?
Thank you, Greg.
That's good to have you with us. Okay, so we know now Aer Lingus pilots are taking action. They are enforcing a work to rule starting next week on June 26th. It's inevitably going to result in disruptions for holiday makers. But information, do we have any information, or is it still thin on the ground as to how this will impact?
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose what we know at the moment, Greg, is that a work to rule is essentially a work to the roster. So pilots will work their contract and they will continue to fly the hours that they've been rostered. Compared to a full out or a 2-day strike, it is milder and less people will be impacted at one time. However, we are going to be looking at much less notice, because where they won't be able to fly will be instances where somebody could be sick or if they run over hours. So it is going to be very, very last minute in terms of cancellations. At the beginning, I do envisage that this will roll on and it will get worse as the time goes on. So initially, we would expect less flights to be cancelled. However, the flying public will only really know when they get to the airport or very close to their departure time.
And we don't really know, and this is probably not a very fair thing to say, but here goes, we don't really know how cooperative the pilots would want to be. You know, in this first tranche of action, the more disruption, the quicker perhaps they might feel Aer Lingus comes to the table, just in terms of feeling sick or running over or what have you, if you get where I'm coming from.
Yeah, certainly IALPA at the moment is standing their ground. There doesn't seem to be any movement, even though the Workplace Commission has given a suggested interim pay increase. It is extremely unfair to all Aer Lingus customers and the travelling public in general. Like, it's not just outbound, it's also inbound. Like, we have so many festivals on here at the moment. We have the FLA Festival in Galway. We have different events that we have, like golfing, for example, is huge in our county. So, and we do have a lot of European customers coming in. So it's going to impact inbound as well as outbound. Now, we would hope that dispute would get resolved, and it's critical that this would happen as soon as possible. The ITAA are urging IALPA to come back to the table with Aer Lingus. And, you know, in terms of your listeners, for anyone who does find themselves impacted by this, whether it's pre-departure in Ireland or whether they're abroad, there are huge customer protections in place under EU 261. So that's a piece of legislation between the customer and the airline for cancellation or severe delay of a flight.
So, for instance, I'm traveling down, family of four, park the car in the car park, I'm heading off to Malaga or wherever you might be going, You get into the terminal. Next thing, it pops up. You know, Aer Lingus flight to Malaga is cancelled. I've booked it through you or through another agent. What happened? What do I do at that point, or what happens from there?
So, if you are, as you outlined, in the airport, you only get the notification there. The obligation on the airline is to either reroute at the earliest convenience with another airline. It doesn't have to be with that airline. Refund, and then there's compensation. So within 7 to 14 days, there is compensation. It varies from 250 for short haul to long haul, then it goes up to 600.
Am I likely to get a flight out on my holiday at some point? Because obviously the other airlines at this time of year are running close to capacity, you'd imagine, particularly to the top destinations.
Yeah, like if you look at the lows for this summer, this is the peak time, and this is why IALPA have chosen this particular time, because it is the most inconvenient time for reaccommodating passengers. But in terms of the financial protection piece, that is there for customers. The disruption, though, will be huge for a family of four arrive at the airport. They may need to, the airline may reroute them, or the airline may offer the client themselves the opportunity to book an alternative. We do know that Aer Lingus have, because they're part of IAG, a bigger airline group, they do have the option to look at British Airways, Iberia. So rerouting may be an option. It could be indirect. They would also, it appears, be in discussions with Ryanair for assistance in wet lease aircraft. So the obligation on the airline at that time is to reroute the customer and refund. The problem is when you have somebody who has possibly booked the accommodation independently. So you have your accommodation is booked, you're not arriving that day, and it's non-refundable. That is where the serious out-of-pocket expense is going to occur. So anyone that is listening that is concerned at the moment, I would suggest and look at the accommodation that they have booked. Is it refundable? What is the cancellation policies? It's good to know, just to be on aware of it when you get there, that you know, okay, well, I have an option of looking at something else. If they have booked through any travel agent, then the travel agent will be there to assist them to try and reaccommodate them.
Just in that case where people choose to book differently, and many do, would you travel insurance cover any costs incurred in terms of cancelling the hotel or deferring dates or anything?
Depending on your travel insurance, you'd be looking for a travel disruption clause on your policy. So often this is an add-on, depending on the company that you've booked with. If you tend to go for a more premium product, it's generally included. If you go for a lead-in product, it's usually an add-on. Very small add-on, it could be 8 to 10 euro. But the problem is it's too late for somebody to book this now because this is a known event. Mm-hmm. However, the travel disruption piece will usually come at a maximum capacity per person. So you could be looking at, for example, our travel disruption is capped at 1,000 per person. So for the majority of people, that will cover any travel disruption. However, if you have a policy that it's not included on, you are precluded now from adding it because it is a known event.
Yeah, of course. You can understand where that might come from. Back to the family of four, though. So I'm due to fly out on the Monday. I get to the airport. I'm told the flight is cancelled. Like, I'm still not sure, do you go home? Do you sit around the airport? Like, are you going to get a flight the next day? I presume we're only talking about the outward part of this journey and in other words, you could lose 2 or 3 days of your holiday theoretically. And I mean, obviously you talked of compensation, but it shortens the holiday greatly. Like we have to wait till we're in that space, but are the people likely to get away at some point or other?
Greg, to be completely honest, unfolds, we really are not going to know the impact. The first couple of days will have the least impact. As things roll on, it will be greater. And I would say that the impact on the flying public will be more severe. However, we would envisage that for the main leisure routes, they will be the routes that will be cancelled last. Mm. So say the Barcelona, Rome, Mallorca, the Canaries, those main leisure routes, I would imagine will be the ones that will will be the last to be cancelled. Yeah. But in terms of your family at the airport, what do they do? What they don't do is just do something on their own. They need to have instructions from the airline in terms of their assistance. Are they going to be covered? Yes, they are going to be covered for accommodation should their flight not go out till the next day. And any reasonable expenses for food until their flight departs. But they need to have that confirmation from Aer Lingus that they can go and book it themselves. Or Aer Lingus may say, we have an allocation of accommodation. You need to take ours. So the important thing is to wait for instruction from the airline before mm-hmm. you arrange anything further.
Are there any consequences for me if I fly out in the knowledge that I could have difficulties getting home in terms of insurance and what have you? Because let's face it, if I do get on that flight and it's not cancelled, I'm getting on that in the full knowledge that it's possible, if not probable, mm-hmm. that my return flight may be unavailable.
No. Well, this is where the travel insurance piece is so important. And we would always urge people to take it out at the time of booking, because that is pre any of this information coming into the public, and therefore you're covered. So even if you go out and you travel knowing that there could be disruption coming home, your policy was taken out at a particular time where none of this was an issue. Mm-hmm. So your travel insurance, and should you be delayed a day or two coming home, most travel insurance policies will then kick on free of charge for those extra couple of days until you return to your home destination.
Yeah, but it's a big responsibility because, you know, if you're there, maybe you have a business appointment to get back to, or mm-hmm. you know, you're not sure that your children will be looked after in the proper accommodation or what have you with you, it is something to consider. Is this an all-Ireland situation or just the Republic of Ireland, just for those who might be flying out of other Belfast Airport, for example?
Yeah, it's all Aer Lingus. So Aer Lingus do have service out of Belfast City. It is mainly, though, to the UK. So it is they have Southampton and they have Heathrow flights. Okay. But the bulk of customers will be affected, will be travelling from Dublin and further south, Cork and Shannon too. So it's an awful thing for families to have waited for so long and saved so much for a holiday, and this taking the shine off it before they're due to travel. And like, it is something that we are very aware of for our customers in trying to assist where possible to help and reaccommodate. But it's hugely disruptive to the traveling public, and we would hope that it is resolved sooner rather than later.
All right, fingers crossed. All right, Emma, thanks so much for your time. I really do appreciate it and answering the questions so clearly for us. Emma McHugh, Managing Director of Atlantic Travel Letterkenny. Okay, it is quite literally one of the biggest sporting events on the Donegal calendar. And for many, no doubt, it is the biggest sporting event. And that is the Donegal International Rally. And in studio with me, we have our own Oisín Kelly, Head of Sport. Hi, Oisín.
Morning.
Yep. Yes, it is indeed. Good morning. Brian Brogan, Chair of the Donegal Motor Club. Hiya, Brian.
Good morning, Greg.
And last but not least, of course, the clerk of the course, Eamon McGee. Hi, Eamon.
Good morning, Greg.
Oh, Eamon always shy of the microphone. Oisín, will you help a man out?
Nice and tight there.
Come right. Here, Eamon. How's the work been going so far in prepping things and all that kind of stuff?
It's been a hectic couple of weeks, Greg. But again, we have a good team of men out there working, and they're out tidying up the loose ends this morning, hopefully going to in the showing for tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. First carriage due on Malinhead at 11 o'clock tomorrow. So all looking good for now, yeah.
What are the greatest challenges in sort of your role, Eamon, in advance of the rally?
It's challenging this last while. You know, you pick a stage and you say, right, that's a good stage, when we have to deal with PR issues and residents and get everybody on board and get the whole route and show that it suits. And like, you know, and a lot of work goes into it as well. Like, you have to get radio coverage on them stages. You know, you could have a best stage but you couldn't get radio, so all that has to be looked at and worked on. And there have been boys out there every weekend this last 7 or 8 weeks making sure that everything's in place. Like,
yeah, and Brian, as chair of the Motor Club, the Donegal Motor Club, obviously huge faith in Eamon and his team. Everything's in place now, just ready for a great event.
Absolutely, Greg. Yeah, and Eamon sort of maybe belittles it a bit there. There's a lot more to it than what Eamon actually states, and he's a very good team on the ground and has been working very hard since September of last year in it. And your setup and a lot of the logistics from like sort of Motorsport Ireland and safety and all of that has to be brought together in place. And I suppose he has a very good team, and his rally manager, Kieran Doherty, who wouldn't be happy unless I mentioned him, and Suzanne McLafferty, who is the secretary now, who have done tremendous work over the last few months. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on a daily basis, which is it's really fantastic to see it all coming together. And now at this stage, they have the plan worked now. It's about working the plan now to roll it out.
And the decision, Eamon, to go back to Inishowen after, you know, quite a hiatus, has that been in the works for a while, or was it just decided between the last rally and this?
No, it has been. Like, there's a good bunch of guys down in Inishowen, and they've been asking for this. So we went to Donegal Town last year, big success, and I says, right, it could have been easily said, right, we'll go back and repeat that again. But I says, look, we'll put a new challenge and take the Inishowen men on board. And we said, we'll go down to Inishowen and we'll see what's there. And it is some fantastic stages down there.
And what's the feedback been from drivers so far? Because there's plenty of drivers that are going to be taking part that will not have driven this course before. What's the feedback like?
Well, I think maybe Oisin will answer that. He talked to some of them there.
Yeah, this week, excuse me, Greg. they're getting fantastic feedback on Inishowen. It's a new challenge for them. So it's like, what, 13 years is it since it was last used? But particularly the Cool Cross stage was used previously in a harvest, but you're going into Malin Head and you're going to Mamore Gap. So it's all new for most of the drivers. And they've been very, very impressed with particularly those first two stages. And the second half of Mamore Gap, they seem to be impressed with as well, because it seems to be a stage that has everything in it, and they feel that the stages are proper international Donegal stages, and it's a fantastic way to start the event, and fair as well. Yeah. Because yes, there may be older drivers and navigators that would have done them.
I think last year, years ago. There was some felt that the stages around Ballantrae were more advantage to some than to others. Yeah. I can't remember the exact details of it, but I remember, not in a negative
way. Well, there'll be local knowledge as well. There will be any Inishowen men that who are competing in the event would like to feel that they
need a hand.
I was speaking to a young guy, Kyle McBride, this week. He's going to be one of the younger competitors this year, but give him 4 or 5 years, and the likes of Kyle McBride and Ryan McHugh, two Donegal men, have big careers ahead of them. But Kyle is from down the Carindona area.
Yeah.
So you would be thinking maybe there might be a bit of local knowledge with Kyle and his class.
And the field is the mix you want, hasn't it? You want the former winners, you want the mainstays, and you want some new faces as well. And that's what's been delivered.
The best of Irish rallying, and some of the UK guys are here this week, Greg. And like, when you look at the lineup in the top 10 and who's there, they all want to be here. There's former winners in there. Callum Devine's got number one in the car. How much pressure is there now on the young man from Derry? Well, we keep calling him young man, but he's not so young as what he was when he first started a couple of years ago. But what sort of pressure is number one on the door going to carry with Callum Devine and Nola Sullivan? Because there's no doubt breathing down the back of his neck is Keith Cronin's, to me, he's a world-class driver. He's a multi-British champion, so he is. And Matt Edwards is there, seated at number three, who's got a lot more seat time in this Ford Fiesta. He'll be gunning for it as well. That's just the top three. And then outside of that, Josh Moffat's a former winner. I was down with the guys who brought over the Toyota Yaris last night, Melvin Evans Motorsport and Pro Global Consultancy. I've brought this car to Donegal for the very first time. It was here in Carlow a couple of weeks ago, but it's the first time it's going to compete at international level in an Irish Tarmac Championship round. And listen, it's a fantastic machine, so it is. And this is going to be the future of rallying, they believe, this Toyota Yaris. So there's going to be a lot of noise about this car this weekend, and a lot of spectators will be out to see the car. But how will it perform? We'll have to see, because it's still very much in the development stage behind the wheel of Marion Evans, son of Melvin Evans. So that's another angle to the rally. And listen, the list goes on. Then you've got the modified men. Kevin Geller, local man. Ryan Moore going for three in a row in the Darien. Yeah. And you have a whole host of Donegal boys coming behind him. Kevin Eaves, Declan Gallagher, Mark Alcorn. Who else is in there? Brogan. This is more. Or Brian. This is more your field. So it is.
What are
you saying, Kelly?
It's real rally.
You know, yeah. Sister yeah. Sarah's now, boys. We use our first names. We use the first names.
But there's a fantastic field there. Yeah. There's a fantastic. When you see that there was 70 on the reserve before the event even started.
Talk about that, Brian, the reserve, because for those who aren't familiar with the lingo necessarily, that means so much, far more people wanted to take part than spaces are available.
That's right. You had 71 in reserve, you know, and you can run 205 cars. I mean, it's enough to do 2.5 rallies, we'll say, of an average event. And those people, a lot of the people in reserve would have been people that maybe was unfortunate that hadn't got results and maybe didn't marshal enough, done maybe a bit, but not enough to get actually into the event. And there is a criteria in place there, but you do need to have results. Results comes in favour. And then marshalling and support that help the club going to different events and making that happen. It's a part of the criteria that does support a lot of the people that maybe just unfortunate that they don't get the result, but they still go and compete and work hard at the event. So at this point, to be fair, a lot of the people that did work hard and marshal, I would say, are in at this point. Which is great. It's great for us to see because we need help at all times. And to go to different events, we still need people to go from Donegal Motor Club to support other clubs because we're depending on them to come support us this weekend. Mm. And they all do. There's a good comradeship there between clubs all over the country.
Yeah, weather-wise, Oisín,
tomorrow's given for a bit of rain, which will make it interesting.
It's not going to be heavy rain.
It's not going to be heavy rain, but it's still going to make, like, it'll be damn slippy conditions.
And
there's
a tyre selection then, because you could start off in wet conditions or dry conditions and then end up...
If it is raining and it's not that heavy, it'll be more likely possibly intermediates that they'll be on. And if it's bone dry, they'll be going to the slicks and maybe cutting them. But we have to. It could be hammering down with rain and Malin Head. And you could be going to Mamore Gap and it could be bone dry. And that's just the way it is. And there's not too many miles between those two stages, but it's the way the weather is in June. Now, Saturday and Sunday seems to be okay. It's going to be dry. But with these new stages and the weather tomorrow, it could make for an interesting start. And Greg, we were talking about competitors and we know we always mention the head of the field. You have to remember the young guy that's starting out in his motorsport career that... basically has his communion money in a bank somewhere and he's been saving for this day. And there's a few guys in there that's going to do the Donegal Rally for the first time. And this has been their life for the last number of years, saving up, buying a rally car, doing probably 80% of the work on the car themselves, getting it ready for this. So it's like Christmas Day to some of these young fellows who will be heading off into that first stage. And they're a lot further down the field. And you can't forget about them either, because they would be seen as, this is no disrespect to the guys at the front, but they're club men. So they are, and they give everything to it. Yeah. And there's long nights over the last number of weeks getting ready for this event.
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be something else. In terms of people who want to go and see it, obviously, Eamon, is it, you might, as clerk of the course, might have this one. This is a spectator sport. There's going to be thousands of rally fans that want to go and watch the stages. So if you don't have the local... A lot of people have been at this game for a while and they'll know the little tricks and what have you, or where you can go. So what is the process of going along and watching the rally if someone wants to bring, you know, kids that are of age now, for an example?
Probably a lot of this, like, you take... We have the area maps there now and they find the locations, but, you know, it's just to find somewhere safe, you know. It's one of the things that we brought in a couple of years ago was you take the likes of Nagala. We have a field taken there. You park the cars in the field and there's buses running there for the first 2 or 3 hours of the morning, taking people up to the up to vantage point at the top of the hill. Now, that works, and that's very easy, especially with families with young children. They just put them in the bus, up the
turn. I think it's something in maybe it's the same thing in Downing's.
You park your car up and there's local lads bus you. And, you know, it's working, and they're Nagal in the mountain, it's a safe place, a safe spectating. Like, we have marshals on the hill there to make sure that everybody is safe. Like, but we do several things like that, you know, but for the ordinary rallyman, they've I haven't seen the
just last... follow the jeans and the brown shoes and you'll get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buy a programme, Greg.
I'm joking.
But it's very simple. Buy a programme. The map is there. It shows you where to go. It tells you
where there's no
spectator access. There's also an app called Rally Stages.
People coming to this all the time.
Yeah. There's an app called Rally Stages, which has been used for the first time in Donegal, which also has all that information on it. So if you purchase both of those, then the programmes are available in most of the filling stations across Donegal, and that's the simplest solution to figure out where you want to go.
Brian Brogan.
Yeah, I will just stress that on the maps there, you will see, Greg, that no spectator access is identified on a few days. So, and that will be strictly no spectator access. So I would ask all spectators that are attending to heed them, because it will be the case that spectator control will be part of the course cares, and they will be removing them people from the location for the no spectator access.
This is not anyone's first rodeo, and this isn't all happening by accident. There's a lot of planning and organisation and experience has gone into this. It's so critical, isn't it, Brian, that the stewards are listed, and a lot of these are volunteers, right? These aren't the guards or the army. These are fellow fans, and they've got the experience to keep people safe, so you can get where you're allowed to go, when you're allowed to go, and enjoy the rally in as safe as possible environment, Brian.
It is a very much controlled zone from start to finish. There are times there, there's arrival times, start times, and they need to be adhered to. And spectator control is there for the spectators' interest to let them know that they're in prohibited areas. Some people, maybe for the first time, may not understand that a prohibited area means that you should not be near it, shouldn't interfere with it at all. And that does delay. And in some cases in this country, it did happen where it actually cancelled stages. Now, that's not somewhere we want to go.
No, of course not.
We want everything to run in conjunction with the planning that has been put in place. There's a lot of very good volunteers out here that know exactly what they're doing. They're well used at it, well trained at it. And I would ask all spectators just to heed the marshals and the officials at all times for their own safety.
And Eamon, sorry as well, to, you know, and 99% people are, of course, but to be respectful of property and landowners as well.
100%, Greg. And the other thing as well that we find in the past with other events is try and get there as early as you can.
Yeah.
You know, don't be just coming last five minutes before you care then, and you're walking up a road and there's defined end to walk up the road and have nowhere to go, you know, and they're not in their prohibited area. So, like, we have no option but then to just, on safety grounds, to just maybe, you know, slow things down for us.
Okay, well, we don't want that. Right, we are in the company of Eamon McGee, Brian Brogan, Oisin Kelly. We're going to dig a bit deeper, I suppose, into the runners and riders and what to expect over the weekend after we take this break. Oisin, I'm kind of pretty much going to hand it over to you now at this point, because I want everyone to get all the right information if they're listening to find out about what's going on, what they should know, and so on and so forth.
About our coverage of the rally overall, are you asking?
Whatever I'm saying, I am really handing it over to you now.
Because you're done, are you?
No, I'm not done, but, you know, everything I have to be able to waffle about it has been taken from me. Brian gave me a map. I thought, right, I could do something with the map. No, give that to me. Brian gave me a programme. Oh, no, I need that. So I'm sitting here with your names.
Right.
That's what I have.
Well, we'll start with stages then.
We'll start with stages.
Well, as we mentioned, Greg, any showing, there's six stages on Friday. The first car is due on Malin Head just after 11 o'clock, and they'll be back in Letterkenny at Park Fermate, which is at the ATU on the Port Road at round about 5 to 7 tomorrow evening, and they'll be actually leaving out of Park Fermate tomorrow night at 9. But before that, we're going to come forward today, which is the Thursday. There's a lot happening today, more so than ever before. 12 o'clock down at McGinley Motors on the Pierce Road, scrutineering is taking place where the cars are assessed by officials to see that they're on the right spec and the right work in order to take part in a Donegal International Rally. So that'll take place over a number of hours, and supporters can go down and stand behind the railing and get a look and see that process. Then later on from 5:30 on the Port Road beside Ingrainham Theatre, we're going to have the start of the ceremonial start. There'll be live music, all being orchestrated by John Dolan. Plus, there'll be a number of former cars that have competed here in Donegal. Like Bertie Fisher's Manta is coming. Yeah. Colin McRae's 604.
It was here
in the mid-noughties. Is going to be there. And there's going to be a few more. And Kevin Glendenning will be overseeing that. The actual ceremonial start will begin then just shortly after 7 o'clock on the ramp, which will be on the Port Road. Now, the Port Road will be closed off from 3. And we'll bring you that ceremonial start live here on Highland tonight as well. We'll take the first 30 minutes of that. So that's where the top 30 or 40 crews make their way. There's a ramp there. The cars will be there and we'll get a word with them. And there'll be a good, there'll be a nice atmosphere around the event at Ingrainham Theatre. And then this might be a Thursday night driver's briefing, if I'm right, Brian. It's usually on the Friday in Ingrainham Theatre on the Friday morning. But it's now pulled forward to Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Tonight we'll have the driver's briefing because that frees up tomorrow to head away early to any showing. So we went through what was happening on the Friday in the stages, Mamore Gap, Malinhead, Cool Cross. On Saturday, there is 8 more stages to come and they're going to be at it early on Saturday morning with Knockalla at 5 to 10. They'll be leaving Park Fermi at around 8:30, and the two stages that will be done twice, 4 in total, Knockalla and Gary Gort down around the Milford Rathmullen Remelton areas. The classic that is Knockalla gets things underway, and if those guys that are leading the way that we talked about earlier, Greg, are still involved after Friday, you could see big moves in those opening stages. So they're going to be run twice, and then in the afternoon we have High Glen, which moves from a Sunday to a Saturday and is done in reverse. And then we've got Lochkeel, which returns to the Donegal International after a few years' absence. And those stages, obviously, down in and around the Glen area and up in the Termin and outside Kilmacrenan as well. So they will be back into Park Fermi, just looking at the times, back into Letterkenny at around 20 to 7. So that's going to be a very, very long day. So it is. And if you are out and about and you are following the stages, the best advice we can give you, you know what, pick a stage in the morning, stay there for a couple of hours, watch maybe twice a Knockalla, and then in the afternoon move then to one of the other two. That's probably the best way to do it if you want to follow the rally on the Saturday. And then Sunday, we have to go back a couple of years where the lead actually changed 3 times in the Sunday morning. Josh Moffat started the day, he was at a 3rd or 4th, and he ended up winning the rally. So some might say it's just a walk home on the Sunday. It's far from it. There's 6 more stages and stages that have become classics of Donegal. Garton's going to be done twice. Atlantic Drive's going to be done twice. So is Fan at Head. And the action's going to wrap up outside Port Salon at round about 5 o'clock on Sunday, with them due back at the finish ramp in Letterkenny at 6. So that is the schedule of the rally, Greg.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, and there's all different types of cars as well.
All different types of cars. Look, the programme here. There's 152 different types of cars in the main field. We can't name everybody because if we do, we're going to be here for the next hour. Or so. But yeah. Myself and Eamon were talking just off air. We have to mention the Historics and the Juniors who become part of the race as well on the Saturday and the Sunday. And one man that we'll be watching, no pressure on him at all, Liam Regan is his name, and he's from County Antrim. Mm. And alongside him is a man that you have no idea of, Greg, William Creighton, who is the World Junior Rally Champion.
There you go.
He's also from Ireland, and he normally drives. O'Regan is his navigator. They were crowned world champions last year. They're coming to Donegal to have a bit of crack in a Skoda Estelle 130L. Never heard of one of them in my life before, but the Skoda's going to be in the Historics, and the two boys are swapping seats.
1.6 Octavia, I take it.
Yeah, something like
that. So what about the coverage?
Highlands coverage, right, where do we start, Greg? David James, this afternoon, 2:30 to 5, is going to be in the Voodoo Lounge in Letterkenny. Mm-hmm. A pre-rally build-up with music. The likes of the Whistling Donkeys, Claudia Buckley.
Brilliant.
Nathan Carter will be there, and we'll be talking a few rally bits and bobs as well, so we will. And obviously the Voodoo venue and the Pulse nightclub again jumping on board, as they have been doing for a very long time as our coverage sponsors.
And the overall event, the Wilton Recycling, yeah, as well, hugely, yeah, important, presumably.
And, so that starts this evening. Again, as I said, ceremonial start from 7:05. We'll be live on Highland. And then we're into the thick of it. Myself and Chris Ashmore and Seamus McGinnigan will be along with us as well. We're going to tear into the stages. We'll be at the end of most of them this year, bringing you as much coverage as we can. We'll be in service with interviews and discussions, and it'll be available on air, on FM, and on the website and on our social channels.
Excellent
and
stuff.
It's just going to be wall-to-wall rally. Donegal, yeah, International Rally coverage in Highland this weekend.
And Brian, just to come back to you, it has to be very clear here, and over the last couple of years I've been trying very hard to make this differentiation. There's an event on here, a big event that is attracting the cream of the crop and people from all over the country. It's the jewel in the crown of rallying in Ireland, and they're all doing it safely, and they're all doing it in a controlled environment. There is also an element that comes here, probably never sees the stage of the rally, that's outside of your control, really, if the truth be told, in bringing these millions of euro into the region. All we can do, I suppose, and we'll speak to the Guardian, what have you, tomorrow, Brian, is to emphasise the importance of keeping the race in its place, respecting yourself, respecting the roads, respecting residents, so that we don't see, you know, a repeat of stuff we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I think you firmed it up very well there, Greg, and you have done in the past too, and to be fair, you have made the definition of exactly what you have said. And what we do is run a rally for competitors that are actually licensed. That's what they do, they race from point to point on a stage, and they are under the insurance and the control of Motorsport Ireland and Donegal Motor Club, and we run the event from start to finish for them competitors, but that's all we run. We don't run some of the sideshows that actually go on in other locations, and that's okay, that's their business and they can do that. But the one thing that we do encourage, and we do work with the Gardaí in a big way, and all the emergency services, and in a bigger way this way this year, I would say, than any. We have a meeting since before Christmas on this, and work really good together with control rooms, and we share control rooms with them, and we all try and assist one another as best we can. What is going to be happening this weekend will be that we'll be running very closely, working in conjunction with the Gardaí, and asking everyone that is following the event to do exactly what we're asking them to do, and that is to heed the marshals and the officials, keep the race in its place, do exactly what we want you to do, and keep your head up high, because some of the stuff that goes on off stages, it's nothing at all to do with us, and you're correct, we do need to differentiate from that. And again, we're asking everyone just to do exactly what we want them to do, and feel that's the proper thing to for us to do on the event.
Brian Brogan, chair of the Donegal Motor Club, best of luck with the weekend. Eamon McGee, you and your team doing great work, of course. You as clerk of the course, a great weekend. Oisín Kelly, we'll hear plenty of you. We don't have time for me to ask, would you prefer to be doing this weekend, or Donegal versus Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final? I wouldn't ask you that, it'd be unfair.
Or elections again.
Or elections. Right, okay, listen, we'll leave it at that.
You come rallying with us this weekend.
All right, listen, guys, thanks so very much indeed.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks very much.
And we will be chatting to Gardaí again tomorrow, just to give you an idea of road closures, the safety implementation outside of the Donegal International Rally. They're in charge of policing the hangers-on and the people that can cause issues. It is not the participants that are the issue here. It's the people that come up and just want to treat Donegal as if it's a playground for them. That's the guards' responsibility. We're going to be talking to them, of course, on the programme tomorrow. I'm not going to be doing it, though. Donald Kavanagh will. I'm going to see Pink. That's how butch I am. you can all play with your rally cars, and I'm going to go and see Pink. All right, then. See you all. I'll chat to you next week. Bye.